B-Pod Studios.
.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Brandon Merriweather, our good friend, is brought to you this morning by DN Van Lines. Brandon Merriweather, hello.
What's up? Yeah, what's good?
It's all good, Brandon. As always, all good.
Hey, man. Hey, I got a question.
Yes.
How did I not win 98 miles last year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you were excellent.
2 years ago.
You were excellent, but who ended up winning that? Oh, so
Sarah Underwood.
Yeah, Mike Felger, who's on the station, his wife came on and basically ripped on her husband the entire time.
She didn't deserve the win, Brandon. Brandon, yours was far better. But sometimes it's not about skills. I mean, you know, there's people like Taylor Swift who make a lot of money. But
Cut it out.
Well, you a big Taylor Swift fan?
No, I'm not, but hey, she got something. She's making money. She's making a lot of money, too.
Do you think she's overrated in terms of looks?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I never found her overly attractive. I don't know why these gentlemen keep dating her.
Yeah.
But she hit a banana. Don't get it twisted.
No, of course. I mean, of course I'd have sex with her, but I'm talking about in the pantheon of women that are admired for their beauty.
Yeah, but if she ain't had the money she had, you know, would I pick her? No, absolutely not. Yeah. You know, but hey, man, they say money make you look good. But, so you can say what you want to say.
Have you ever been with a celebrity?
Yeah, I've been around.
I think Fred means been with a celebrity.
And I said, yeah, I've been around.
Okay. All right. I mean...
Just say the industry that they were in. You don't have to say the name. Or you could say the name if you want.
No, I would never put somebody out like that. But I've been with an actress, a rapper, a couple models. Anyways, I've been around.
Was it Dame Judi Dench?
Who?
Never mind. Was it Meryl Streep?
We should just do. Does Brandon Merriweather know the Academy Award winner?
Estelle Getty from the Golden Girls?
Who?
All right. I think his acting like he doesn't know means that he banged Meryl Streep. But all right.
Cut it out.
All right. So, Rich,
Waldick,
actually.
Man.
Waldick.
What?
He just called on you.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was my turn. Am I supposed to? What'd it do? How does that work? Does that sound good? No, probably
not. No, that sounds terrible.
I'm sorry, man. I'm working on it.
For you? For you, Waldick, I let it go, man.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, so Rich was talking about this, and it's a good idea to ask you about it, so I'm going to steal his question. Last night, the Patriots struggling against the run game. This is something that's been an issue for them. What are you seeing out of this defense? Why is this the case?
Honestly, I think for them, I don't think that's a case. I think they putting so much into stopping the pass, and you know that Bill really, since ain't nobody ever did it, and people falling behind so much to where they just putting a lot into the pass game. But I think that's an issue that, like, once Bill sees something, it'll be fixed. So I don't think that's a problem.
Well, it's been a little bit of an issue. Like last week, Nick Chubb ran all over him. This week, I mean, it was pretty rough. When you're looking at that, like, what kind of adjustments do you think are going to be made there?
People just got to do their job, you know. If you got a gap, you got to stay in your gap. If you got to split a double team or hold it up, you got to do that. That's gonna be that's what's happening is. You know, it kind of looked like people are just getting out of their gap.
Is that Junior there with you?
Yeah, that's Junior with me.
Yeah. At what age are you going to have him lifting weights?
Lifting weights?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably high school.
Okay. You're not one of those maniac fathers that, who was the guy who had him, like, lifting weights when he was, like, 6 years old?
That was Marinovich.
Yeah, Marinovich. Yeah, you're not going to be that kind of father, are you?
No, man, he ain't got to do nothing athletic if he don't want to.
You say that now.
Like, I'm not, like, no, I'm serious. Like, I'm not one of the parents who are going to make their kids do what I did because I feel like, you know, that's what makes you. No, no, no. If he wanted to be a book nerd, I'd be completely happy. I hope he wins spelling bees, man, to be honest with you.
Could you win a spelling bee?
Hell no. Man, you couldn't. Listen, it ain't. You couldn't have paid me to even go to even participate in the spelling bee.
Yeah. Okay. So, you were like a star in high school too. So, I mean, how much schoolwork did you actually have to do? Because you were someone who was destined to play in the NFL. When you were in high school, did you have people kind of look the other way when it came to tests?
No, I didn't. Not even in college, but I didn't because my stepmom and my dad was my stepdad was teachers at my high school.
Okay, so like, it on you.
So I couldn't. It wasn't no way around me. Like saying, "Hey, man, look, man, if I fail this class, I ain't gonna be able to play. So y'all need to let me." Nah, I couldn't do that.
Okay.
Were there other kids that you saw that happening with? Because I read an article about how I was kind of shocked that even in high school, these kids, you know, you hear about it in college all the time, but in high school, apparently it's early enough to where teachers kind of look the other way on tests. Did you know anybody in your school where that was the case?
No. Like, the school I went to was, you know, was a magnet program, you know what I mean? So, like 90% of the people who went to our school was, you know, smart. So, no, we didn't really. Now, I do know some people who, not at my school, but I know some people who absolutely, I don't know how they got in college, period. So I know they teachers were looking the other way.
What school offered you the most money to go there?
Probably South Carolina.
Okay.
Now we're talking outside of scholarships. This was actual envelope money.
You got a scholarship to Miami. Yeah,
this was envelope money, correct?
Oh, you took my envelope money. Oh, no, 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 man. No, ain't nobody offering me no money, man. I can make this.
Okay. Aside from South Carolina.
All right. Well, then which one showed you the best time while trying to recruit you?
South Carolina by far.
Okay. What did they do?
What didn't they do? You ever seen the movie He Got Game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was that He Got Game with Jesus Shuttleworth getting recruited?
Yeah.
Ray Allen getting recruited?
Yeah, yeah. And he had the two porn stars in bed with him.
It was basically just like that, basically.
Wow.
Close to that.
And is it just you and a bunch of recruits, and then they walk in and say, "Ladies, how does that work?"
No. So with me, it was first off, they picked me up in a private jet. And when I got there, we rode by the airport to pick everybody else up. And then they take you to your hotel. And sometimes it's people in there, sometimes it's not. You know, and then you go eat dinner and you come back to your hotel and maybe somebody in there, maybe not.
Well, so listen, it shows that you are a man of honor, though, that you did not fall for that and that you ended up going to the prestigious Miami.
Man, honestly, I had a lot of influence around me that helped me with everything, you know what I mean? So that's why I didn't go to any of the other schools. You know, like, I went to Miami basically because they told me I was going to have to work to get everything I was going to get.
No, that's admirable. I mean, that is admirable.
Was Lou Holtz the head coach that tried to recruit you to go to South Carolina?
Yeah, Lou Holtz was the head coach.
What's it like dealing with him? Whoa. First of all, we're kind of surprised that Lou rolled out the red carpet the way he did. But was it hard not to laugh at him when he you know, kind of tripped over all his S's and stuff when he was talking to you?
You know what? Honestly, I didn't even see Lou Holtz until literally the 20 minutes before I had to leave. And because Lou was out with his family or something. And when I got back, when I was getting ready to leave, they was like, oh, you got to go meet Luke. And when I met him, I told him I was coming. I was like, yeah, I'm going to come. I'll be there.
Yeah, because, you don't have to officially sign anything right there while you're there. Why not just say it so it's not awkward?
You just wanted to get out of the room, I'd imagine.
Right,
because
yeah.
You're spitting all over the place.
I absolutely did it. Every visit I went to, I told him I was coming. Absolutely. Hey, I'll be there, man. I'm coming. I'm telling you. Thank y'all for showing me a good time.
What is it like being 18 and having like a private jet pick you up and then, going to your hotel room and there possibly being women there waiting for you? I mean, how do you take that as an 18-year-old?
Like you the man, how you not take it? Like, and the crazy part is, 18-year-olds, all of us, kind of talk to each other. So when they was talking to, when we got back to dinner and everybody telling me what's going on in their room, I'm sitting there laughing like, dang, my room's a little more exciting. Everybody, I'm getting picked up in jet. They on regular plane. I had a suite, at the W. They had regular rooms at, Marriott. Like, it was just completely different.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a football question. So, you have the situation going on with Jamal Adams, and you were a great safety, and Jamal Adams thinks he is. And he is putting up a stink about losing. When you look at a player who's calling out basically everyone but himself about losing, how do you feel about that?
First off, I think stuff calling people out need to be done in-house.
Right.
I don't think it's nothing you could gain by calling somebody out over the media. The only person I ever seen actually call somebody out over media or Twitter and it actually improved the people he was calling out game was Adam Thigpen when he called out Kurt and Kurt started playing like a champ. Like, that's the only person I ever seen that happen good with. And that's because Kurt is that type of guy, though. You know what I mean? He, if you light a fire up on him, Kurt don't play for you.
All right.
I think he's completely wrong for this. He's going to Twitter to talk about everything. And, he kind of starting to remind me of AB.
Yeah, I agree. So he got upset because the Jets picked up the phone about the possibility of trading him. And there's no reports that they called anyone. Is that stuff that you took personally?
No, my situation was completely different from his, though, because he's supposed to be, a franchise safety, you know what I mean? If that was the situation in my book, yeah, I would have took that personal, too.
Okay.
I'd have felt y'all telling me this, but then y'all listening to phone calls and listening to trade-offs, that's where the problem come in.
Right. But you wouldn't do it publicly.
No, I wouldn't have never did it publicly. I would have went and talked to him face to face, man to man.
All right. Well, listen, Brandon Merriweather, you never disappoint. Everyone loves Brandon Merriweather.
There was one question, though, Brandon, and this is kind of stems, and Fred brought it up a minute ago, but this is something that stems from a personal experience I had. If somebody comes into one of your restaurants and starts acting up, and I don't know if it's happened before or if you just have a plan for this. Someone starts acting up and you got to get this guy out of there. How do you, Brandon Merriweather, handle that?
I turn to a bouncer.
Okay, so your restaurants have bouncers?
No, I'll be the bouncer.
Okay. All right. Now, first of all, has that happened yet?
Yes, that happened a couple of times.
Yeah,
I throw a party at my restaurant like last year. I had an ugly sweater party, and this guy got drunk, and so I had to get him up out of there. So I grabbed him and kind of lifted him up and put him outside.
The man exposed himself and started urinating on the walls.
Now, it's a careful thing, right? Because the man obviously has his part out and he's using the bathroom. That's got to be fairly tricky to grab this gentleman and remove him.
No, I didn't see him do that. I was told he was doing that, and he was around me. He was just cussing everybody out. You know, he was cussing out my bartenders. He was cussing out the people next to him. He grabbed this lady. That was sitting next to us, like he knew her, like literally. And right. So when I was there, I was like, you know what, man? Let me just get you up out of it.
Yeah, that is very, very intoxicating.
He actually told me if I touch him, he was going to put his hands on me. So I touched him just to see if he was going to put his hands on me.
Well, Brandon Merriweather, I would not put my hands on you unless it was to embrace you out of friendship.
All right, child, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Brandon. We'll talk to you soon.
I see you.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Brandon Merriweather, our good friend, has brought to you this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's an app. The Sports App.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Brady takes the snap. He backs up. He slides left. He throws deep down the middle. Earl Thomas is waiting on it. He's going to have an interception as he catches and lands at the 8. And he runs back across the 15, 20, 25, 30. Ooh. And Thomas is clipped down by Shaq Mason.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe, of course, covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. He's kind enough to join us just about every week during football season. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Well, what we saw, I've been reading your articles on The Athletic, and we saw, obviously, the defense struggle mightily against the run, and I guess that's been a concern now for a little while. What exactly are the problems that you're seeing, and how do you see this being corrected?
Well, on Sunday night in Baltimore, some of it was just, you know, you lose one assignment, and Baltimore is good enough to take advantage of it. I mean, there's one guy gets, you know, blocked out of a lane, or one guy just gets blocked. There's one missed gap assignment, and all of a sudden Mark Ingram or Lamar Jackson's able to gain, you know, 12 to 15 yards. Some of the bigger breakdowns, you know, sometimes it's two guys, and then all of a sudden you got Mark Ingram running for 53. On Monday or Sunday night, it was an uncharacteristically off performance for Jamie Collins. I mean, he missed a handful of assignments early in the game, and, you know, one of them in particular led to that touchdown. So, you know, you got to be better one-on-one, and that's really what it comes down to fix the run defense. I mean, remember how bad it was late last season in the regular season. Then all of a sudden these guys just started to, you know, I was asking around. I'm like, you know, what are you guys going to do to fix it? And then when they did, what did you do to fix it? And the answers were consistent. It was, you just got to beat your man. You got to beat that guy right in front of you one-on-one. And once you start doing that, then, you know, it's pretty simple for them. But I think, you know, I've also wondered if, because, I mean, there's so much talent up front that it doesn't always add up. It's like, all right, well, we know that you guys can be a dominant front seven, and they have been a dominant front seven. I wonder if, and I'm just throwing stuff against the wall here, if they're just so used to having these big leads and then kind of playing one-dimensional pass-happy offenses who are trying to catch up, if it's, you know, a transition to go from, you know, having to focus on two phases of the game. But I don't know. I mean, I think this group is more than talented enough to figure it out.
Yeah, okay, so you believe that this team has the talent. It's just a matter of figuring out how to cover these guys and teams that are as run heavy as the Ravens.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, if you look at the way that these guys are able to get after the quarterback, I mean, that's kind of addicting. You know, you start to get the quarterback hits and the pressures and the sacks, and that's how guys get paid. So, you know, if all of a sudden teams start to mix it up or they become more disciplined than you're accustomed to seeing, you know, maybe that does lead to a missed assignment, or maybe you were focused so much on getting after the quarterback that, you know, you might not have been as disciplined against the run as you otherwise would have been. So those things tend to happen, and those are easily correctable mistakes.
Interesting report coming out this weekend about how, like, who's, because there's been a big question as to who's actually calling the defensive plays, like who's the guy behind, you know, all the schemes. And they're saying that it was Steve Belichick. I guess that Gerard Mayo is somewhat of, I mean, he's just an assistant to Steve. Is how does it all work? Because this is all kind of new as of this weekend, where we have a little more clarity as to who is calling the plays.
It's the whole process. I wrote something last week about just the way that they install the game plan, and it's really this three guys who are in charge of it. I mean, if Bill Belichick is in the room, so basically the way it starts, you know, they get there Wednesday morning and Bill Belichick leads the full team meeting, all 53 guys plus the practice squad, whoever's in that. And it's pretty much a general topic about the upcoming opponent, what they do well, how you're going to attack them, some tendencies, you know, overview of the roster, this and that. And then they start to break down. So defensively, sometimes they break into a quick meeting about just some last second corrections about the previous opponent. And then they get into usually a full defensive meeting where if Belichick's in the room, and he's in the room more often than not early in the morning than if it was a later afternoon meeting, just because he's got a bunch of different priorities to handle, then he's the guy in control. If he's not, then it's a combination of Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo who are running that room. And then they kind of break off into different groups. You know, sometimes it's the safeties and the linebackers because those are the communicators. Sometimes it's the safeties and the cornerbacks, and they talk about opposing receivers and tight ends. Sometimes it's obviously the defensive linemen, and they're talking about the offensive linemen. And then you just kind of lather, rinse, repeat the rest of the week. So it's a combination of Bill, Steve, and Gerard Mayo who are installing this thing. And then from time to time this season, I mean, I don't know who called the plays on Monday. Or I keep saying Monday night. Specifically against the Ravens, but it's been a combination of Mayo and Steve Belichick throughout the season.
All right, Jeff, what is your opinion on Sony Michel? We didn't see a lot of him in the second half. Was that a product of the fact that the Patriots are behind and throwing a ton? Was that they just weren't running the football well and decided to go with James White the rest of the way? Or is that, you know, Tom Brady not getting on the same page with Michel and sending him down?
Yeah, he got pissed at him on that play. It looked like Michel went the wrong way.
Well, you look at what the offense was on Sunday night, and it was unique to this season where they just went hurry up with three receivers, one tight end, one running back all night long. And they weren't subbing. They weren't trying to sub. They were trying to keep the same Ravens defense on the field. So when you're doing that, you want your best versatile running back with you, and that was James White. So Sony Michel is kind of an afterthought when it comes to the passing game. And, you know, he's slowly getting there, but he's nowhere near in the realm of James White. So if you're going up tempo, far more often than not, you're going to have White over Burkhead.
So what is the status of N'Keal Harry? I know that there was speculation that he might be back for this game. And to be quite honest, I liked what I saw from the passing game. I mean, other than a couple screw-ups and, you know, Edelman fumbling, I thought Sanu fit in perfectly, quicker than I thought he was going to. But what do you think this offense is going to look like once N'Keal is back?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly going to be a big play guy. I don't know how much consistency you're going to get out of him because it's probably unrealistic to think that. But, you know, as for why he wasn't inactive, on Sunday night, I think it's really traces back to the last answer. I mean, when they went three receivers all night long, I mean, it was Edelman and Sanu for every snap and then Dorsett for all but one, except when he got hit in the berries and he had to come out for Myers. So you just look at the depth chart, and that's why Olszewski wasn't active. I mean, they were going with three receivers plus one substitute, and the other two guys weren't in the game plan. And it was too fast of an offense. They were going hurry up. There wasn't going to be any substituting. And guys like Harry and Olszewski just haven't, you know, they weren't capable of running that fast-paced style of offense in that environment. So that's why Harry wasn't active. I mean, I would expect him to I would be surprised if the streak of inactives continued throughout the season because there is so much talent there. But again, the reliability factor for a rookie receiver who's just coming off of basically 10 straight weeks of not practicing before he returned a couple weeks ago, that's a ton to ask for a guy of that age at that position in this offense. So he's talented enough and big enough that, you know, if he is active and he is able to go out there and play, let's call it 15 plays a game, you know, he's gonna make an acrobatic catch or two if the ball goes his way. It's just that's his style. But we'll see how consistent it can be.
All right, Jeff Howell covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. We appreciate the time, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
See you, man.
You the same. When we come back, young Nicholas was out in front of the big Bruins win yesterday. We'll hear what happened there. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. Sports Hub.
Centered, and he missed everybody, and the carom goes to Marchand. Wheels over the line left side. Marchand far circle, shoots off the post. They score! Brad Marchand rocketed up the left side and unleashed a blast in the left circle. It cranked off the post, hit Jari, and then trickled in. 5-4 Bruins.
Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
Wins are for kids.
It's the Toucher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap.
It's win. And it's
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Not the greatest.
I'm making a new intro. That's. I mean, thanks to whoever put that together. I'm making a new intro.
All right, be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Nick Kroll on his middle-aged boy tour this Friday night at the Chevalier Theater. Limited tickets still available at thechevaliertheater.com.
I was saying this the other day, and it remains true even a couple days afterwards, and that is that if you have been going to the TD Garden to watch the Bruins or the Celtics over the last couple of weeks, you have been getting your money's worth. This Bruins team is utterly stupid with what they're accomplishing right now. And once again, nobody really wants this to be the thing in October or November.
Can't give away the points, though. The points stick.
Pile them up when you can, yeah, man.
Pile them up. But, I mean, what they're doing right now, Pastrnak leads the league in goals with 14 and points with 29. Marchand leads the league in assists with 18. Tuukka Rask leads the league in save percentage. They have the best power play percentage in the league and the best goals against per game.
By the way, Marchand's second in the NHL in points.
Yeah.
Right behind Pastrnak.
He's right there, and that line is... And on top of that, you're starting to see some production from the other lines. You've got DeBrusque. He's got a two-game goal scoring streak, which is nice. Starting to get him fired up a little bit.
Saw Krug score last night.
Yeah, that was great.
Getting Kevin Miller back, which is going to be a huge upgrade.
Yep.
Back from based on who he will be replacing.
And last night was a game where you saw them absolutely get their ass kicked in the second period. They were up 3 goals, and by the end of it, they were down 4-3, and they found a way to get back. I mean, it's just one of those things where they don't submit. Now, the second
period... You know what? They refuse to lose.
Refuse to lose. That's right. They rise and grind, Fred, much like your Instagram page.
Yeah, add Fred Touch, your social media influencer, some morning motivations for you. You know, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
Add Fred Toucher on Instagram. If you got boner pills you need sold and you want a face behind them, you got them.
And you're the guy. So, this is a... It should be a fun environment down there, especially last night. That was a hell of a comeback. Great game to be at. Nick outside the TD Garden talking to the people. Let's go to the tape.
Can we use this for a radio?
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Tyler Bryan. This is a wipeout.
All right. Well, now we've discovered everyone around Bruins game sounds like the guys who stole the banner.
Slightly more inebriated.
The other guys. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I don't want to get sued. Found the banner.
That's right.
That's Dan. Dan is a good producer. He reminds me.
Everyone seemed to have run across three lanes of traffic.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
You're right.
We've reached an apex where all these people are hanging out.
Can we use this for a radio?
Absolutely. Hey, this is Tyler O'Brien. This is a wipeout. Dan Pastrnak, one goal, you know. What else would this kid do? What else would he do? Nothing.
All right, talk to me about tonight's game.
David Pastrnak, one goal.
Yeah!
Biggest point scorer in the league.
We're being completely honest. Second period, we really sucked.
This is a Monday, by the way.
Yeah. Has Nick had a couple of beverages as well?
No, Nick knows. Is maybe his heart.
That's how he speaks.
Yeah. At least he's not covered in his own dookie.
Tickets in October. You know what I'm saying?
How about that first line? What is it, like 25 points a game?
11-1-2.
What are we saying?
Not hungry.
There's nothing else but goals in this line.
The rest
of nothing else but goals.
All right. The rest of the NHL better watch out for the black and gold because we're hungry and we're coming.
It seems like the guy's actually hungry.
Right.
He keeps mentioning his, like...
Yeah, it's a couple of times he's mentioned
yeah,
food.
He's like, yeah. This hunger, that insatiable hunger that won't go away.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe because he sees the beacon of a brand new restaurant right there beckoning outside the TD Garden.
Yeah, there's, I mean, with Fieri's right there. Guy Fieri.
It's the only thing on your mind when you leave now.
Yeah, you sit there and you just go like, oh, trash cans.
I need those nachos.
Every trash can you see, you're just like, nachos.
I need them, but I need them out of a trash can. It's the only way nachos taste good.
Your stomach is so red.
I know.
Has everybody been slapping your stomach? Yeah. Why?
Is he shirtless? Okay. Well, you got to expect it.
Was that a yes?
Yeah, he was shirtless.
Oh, yeah.
They were slapping his stomach because he chose. Was he a big guy? Yeah, you got two ways to go with that. You can be the situation with just a whole mess of abs, or you can be a fat guy.
Because I take my shirt off, man.
I'm smoking a cigarette now because Pastrnak scored a goal. That is every goal that kid scores, I'm smoking a cig.
Or every 5 minutes. Whatever comes first.
I mean, I guess you could say you're smoking a lot then.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were smoking a cigarette because they banned Juuls.
No, I got a Juul in my bug. You know, I'll take a
rest. All right, that was a good line.
That was a pretty good line.
That was a good line, Nick.
No, I got a Juul in my bug. You know, I'll take a rest.
Hey, listen, Sidney Crosby's a cousin.
All right, Guy Fieri's opening up a restaurant.
Jesus.
All of a sudden, Conor McGregor shows up.
Good Lord.
All right, well.
All right, Guy Fieri's opening up a restaurant. Did you know that? It's already open.
I knew that. I haven't checked it out yet. I need to.
All right, if you could hang out with Guy Fieri for one night, what extreme things would you guys do?
I'd have him slap my stomach. I'm not even going to lie. It's a hairy-ass stomach.
Can you ask me that question?
All right, how about you?
I take it to a nice steak dinner. I try to wine and dine. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit of a gold digger.
Okay.
Before shooting my shot.
He thinks the name Guy is a woman?
I don't know. Maybe not.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Wait a second. Is this a man who's looking to go after Guy's money?
It sounds like it. He's a gold digger.
I'd have him slap my stomach. I'm not even going to lie. It's a hairy-ass stomach.
Can you ask me that question?
All right, how about you?
I take it to a nice steak dinner. I try to wine and dine. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit of a gold digger.
Okay.
Before shooting my shot.
Daylight savings time was yesterday. Did you know that?
Yeah, no, I did. Didn't affect the Bruins.
What are your thoughts on daylight savings time?
Game hour, lose hour, who cares? Bruins are winning the Stanley Cup.
Sidney Crosby probably cousin later, hour later.
All right.
I don't get that reference.
I don't think it's a reference. I just think it's an insult.
I think that I think that he believed Guy Fieri was a woman because I listened to her a lot in reference. The only correct answer would be I'd want to go see Sammy Hagar with him and take the stage during Three Lock Box. All right. Well, there needs to be an investigation, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up at 8 o'clock, we do as we often do.
There needs to be a judgment on something. It's something very important.
It's almost like a court.
Yep.
So we'll figure it out.
Also, by the way, this time, 8 o'clock tomorrow, a brand new edition of Everyone's Angry in Brookline.
And I know people get very excited about that. My mom asked if we've gotten any national attention. And then she said that, why were you so horrible to me and your father? why were you so terrible to me and my father? And then my son asked why, when you get older, are you mean to your parents? So, fantastic. All right, we will be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
You like poking them.
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher. Screw.
I'm getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat has taken the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday night
right,
football,
yeah.
Not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the five. He's
who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the three. He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW people who get it now. A policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive. Kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look at, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their life. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
It's Kevin Harlan in the call on Monday Night Football last night. Car number 10 right now. The Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. To score a pair of tickets to see Nick Kroll on his middle-aged boy tour this Friday night at the Chevalier Theater. Tickets, limited tickets still available at ChevalierTheater.com. He will be joining the show at 9:35.
I don't know if you saw this report yesterday, but remember all the talk that were on the heels of whether or not Tom Brady was going to stay with the team, and if he did indeed leave to play for another team, the Vegas odds were that the one place he would go, favored more than any, were the Chargers. And it seemed to line up and make sense. His trainer has a house out there. I believe he has a place out there as well. They're saying that he wants to kind of become closer to Hollywood. He says he has some interests outside of football that he might want to go into afterwards that involve things that would be going on in L.A. On top of that, that is a market that could use somebody like Tom Brady to sell tickets, seeing that nobody's going to Chargers games. And next year, they're about to open this ridiculously expensive stadium. On the heels of all that, however, there was a story from The Athletic yesterday, and there was a guy, a writer there who covers the Rams, who said that the possibility of the Chargers moving to London has been broached amongst league personnel. They're saying that that is one of the teams, and for that very reason, that it is such a failure, that they might want to move it over to London, a place where every time there's an NFL game there, it is wildly successful. They've got a stadium that's ready to go, built for it, tons of sponsorships ready to go. And of course, the NFL has pretty much had a chubby for getting the NFL having a permanent team over there for a while. Now, I did read something this morning, which raises a pretty decent point, and that is this might have been leaked by somebody who is basically calling out Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars. Because right now, according to all reports, the Jaguars basically have a right of first refusal. They have to say no to being in London before anybody else is going to be asked to be the team over there. And it just happens to be, this is the same week that Shad Khan went out was talking about his own market and crapping all over Jacksonville.
He should.
So,
and by the way, they didn't move two teams to L.A. to turn around a couple years later and move one of the teams to London. That's just not
going to
happen.
Well, maybe they didn't realize it was going to be this big of a failure.
They went through the whole process of doing it. You're going to give it more than a couple years. And second of all,
this is temporary for the Chargers.
This is temporary, yeah.
But see, they can't make an assessment until the Chargers move into the new building.
And then you got to give it years.
Yes.
Because it doesn't, you're trying to manufacture a fan base.
I agree, Rich. This is to try and kick Shad Khan in the ass and go, let's go.
I mean, him and Ron Jeremy are just going to play identical cousins.
Right. Jacksonville, you have any problem moving over to London to see your favorite team?
Certainly not.
I think that might be an issue.
I mean, I heard that you had a place by the Thames.
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
How much would it suck? I mean, this is such a lukewarm take, but I mean, if you're a player.
I'd love it.
Playing in London?
Yep.
Every game that's an away game, you have at least a six-hour flight.
Yeah, but then they'd make it so you just have to screw around. I'd rather...
What do you mean you just screw around? I mean,
yeah, they'd fly out to, like, New York, and then you'd play in L.A., and then you'd come back.
Yeah, they'd be two and three game road trips.
And then you'd get, like,
you wouldn't go back and forth each time.
Yeah, that would suck.
No, and then you'd get 3 weeks at home.
No, what I'm saying is they wouldn't do it that way. Because London is such an outlier and not close to anything, you'd have, okay, we're going to play 3 games in a row in London, and then you'll play 3 or 4 in a row on the road, and then you'll go back.
And they would just keep you over here?
Yeah.
That would suck.
I don't know, you're a player, four seasons.
If you're used to being a player in the NFL, you're away from your family, I mean, what, 10, 11 days a year? And let's say you have to take 3 weeks to go over there just to play 3 of the games.
But I'm home.
For three or four weeks at a time, which football players don't get.
Well, they do if they have 3 games in a row at home.
That doesn't happen a lot.
Okay, well, I mean...
Does it ever happen?
I'm sure it's happened before. But it still means that you're going to have to take like all of those days that you normally would be home on a road trip. I mean, you know, people fly home after most games. That would suck.
Fly your family out.
I mean, that's a little easier said than done. And I don't know.
These guys are all... I mean, if you're...
Kids got schools and things like that. Can't
the NFL is going to put a team in London eventually. This is going to happen.
I have friends who have to be on the road for 3 weeks at a time, and then they're home for a month.
This is going to happen. I mean, they didn't put all these games in London and in England all these years in a row to just stop.
If they are going to do 8 away games, and your whole strategy is that they're going to do 3 games at a time that are like 3 weeks, then that means they're going to be on the road for 7 to 8 weeks.
Exactly.
That's insane. As opposed to
it's reality.
It's not reality for other teams. For other teams, if you're a player on there, you're only out of town 10 days out of the year.
Yeah.
Don't make it nice.
If you were a free agent, why would you sign with London?
Because it's probably the coolest city that you could live in. I mean, where else would I want to be? I'd want to be in London.
Don't want to be in Vegas, that's for sure.
No.
Mark Davis?
Why would I want to be in Vegas?
Don't want to be in Vegas.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not. Vegas is good for about three nights, and then it's time to leave. Like,
you think that's going to be a good place to live?
No.
I'd love to live in London. They'd hook it up. Because how far is London from like New York compared to New York to L.A.?
It is five. Oh, well, it's about the same.
Same. Okay. So you could.
But every game from London. But New York can just go to here.
I mean, the Jets play. I understand. But they could work it out. They would have to make it in a way. And I don't know. I'm not a person with brains in my head. But they would figure out a way to make it as fair as possible.
I don't know how.
I don't know how either, but
no, there's no perfect way to do this, Rich.
Maybe
other
you get
than
a couple buys.
You want to fly? I mean, if you happen to have a game in Seattle, it's a 12-hour trip.
Someone says, "I can't believe you're bitching about being away for 3 weeks." No, it's not 3 weeks. You'd be gone for 8 weeks if that's the way you did it. If you just stayed here in chunks, you don't just do all the games in three weeks. You would have to do several.
They would have you play an East Coast team so you could go home, and it would just be if you had to go to the West Coast where you would be gone for all that time.
Yeah, if you play, say, Miami or Philadelphia or the Jets or Giants or the Patriots, those are one game over and back. But if you play Chicago, you know, they'll stack the road games. So, okay, this week you're in Chicago, the next week you're in Seattle, and then maybe the third week you're back on the East Coast and then you fly home.
Yeah. I'd like to be in London. I think that'd be cool. Make a lot of money.
I don't even know what the tax situation is over there.
It does. I don't think it matters because you get paid in the city that you play in, but maybe it matters. I'm sure it's high. I'm sure it's way higher than most places. Maybe rivaling California, but I don't know. All right, enough of this talk. It's a silliness. It's time to get down to what really matters. There was a lot of controversy yesterday involving an event, and we're a show that tells it like it is. There's no commercials here, just the headlines. We'll get to it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.